This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. I have joked about this on a podcast before, but if you haven't heard me mention it, my company has currently been fighting one audit for the last 18 months or so. It's the only income tax audit that we have or had, and I'm happy to report that we won. The longer story on this was my own state tax return that was audited. What you can learn from it or to defend yourself in your own audit is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want your question answered on here or just have a question for me or an idea for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions and the most popular podcast episodes, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services Parmelis offers auto repair shops like yours? Shoot us an email at info@parmelis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to hire top talent for your top shop, give ProMotive a call. If you need to get your back office under control, give Wicked File a call. If you need your shop to get moving in the right direction, give Maverick Shop Owners a call. And if you need to get your marketing into overdrive, then give Overdrive Marketing a call today. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing ProMotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Tired of vendors selling you leads without accountability? Overdrive acts as your outsourced marketing director. And because it's powered by AI, it predicts demand, launches smart campaigns, and tracks every dollar. More car count, higher ARO, real control. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. Yes, it's true. Before we get into any of these tips on how to avoid this stuff or what happens in audit, let's talk about the story. I was audited for my 2023 income tax return. So that right there, think about what year you were probably listening to this in, but I'm recording this in June of 2026. 3 years later, and I'm happy to report I've won. It's over with. It's done. But I think just right there should show how long this probably took me. This is pretty common, but as we'll talk about a little bit later, more recently, even though we don't see a ton of income tax audits, we get correspondence. We have to deal with the IRS or state agencies, and this is becoming more and more common. Later periods getting audited and these audits dragging on for a really, really long time. This is where I'm going to kind of be honest about the situation, right? I'm not going to give you my entire tax situation, but there's a lot to be learned from this. And also, it's kind of novel, and I wish that it wasn't the case and it wasn't my tax return, but we just don't see very many audits. Any sort of audit, anything that we can learn from, I would like to share with our listeners. Why was I audited? And this is something that is very tricky because if you ask the IRS or you ask the state, they don't officially tell you. I think that there was more to this story because in 2023, I think it was, for my 2022 tax return, I had a refund for that year. The state held it for a very long time. I had to go back and forth on it. Finally, after a good bit of waiting and a good bit of probably arguing, they finally sent me my money. So they sent me my refund for the year before, and then magically a month later, I got a notice that my 2023 tax return was getting audited in entirety. What that looked like, what I had to send them, we will talk about a little bit later on this episode. The official reason on it, or what I think probably led them to select my return for audit, is I had a large credit or a large deduction on my return. And this is going to get us into our number one or first kind of big topic, is how to get flagged for an audit And the other side of this is to maybe how to avoid some of these flags for auditing. There is certain positions on here that the IRS is going to flag no matter what. The IRS is not very clear about what they like and what they don't like, but I think everyone can kind of imagine kind of stuff that they don't like to see immediately. Large credits. If you have a large credit on your return, you are much, much, much more likely to get audited. One of the most common audits out there, and this is going to be low income, not high income individuals, is the earned income tax credit. This is not something that probably anyone hopefully listening to this has to worry about, but that is the number one most audited tax return. These are low income individuals that generally have dependents on it. And if you're working and you're below a certain poverty threshold, depending on how many children you have, you can get some money back. The reason of why these are so heavily audited is really for two reasons. One of them is the same, no matter if it's a small credit or a large credit. And then the other one has to do with just how much income you make. The biggest reason that any sort of credit is going to get flagged by a IRS agent, or it's going to be something that the IRS is much more likely to come and audit your tax return, is because what they have to do is they need to throw out one tax position, earned income credit, working opportunity credit, R&D credit, ERTC credit, whatever that credit is. The IRS knows that all they have to do is they have to disprove that one position. You took the earned income tax credit and we found out that that dependent is not actually yours. So that is a quick and easy one. You got a $10,000 credit. Now you owe the IRS back money. Guys, IRS agents are called revenue agents. They're called revenue agents for a reason, because they are going out to audit to collect money. Why is the IRS ever going to go and audit you if it can never possibly win? If you do not work for yourself, if you work for some other person and you get a W-2 and you make $100,000 a year and you don't take any other sort of deductions, you don't take any credits, you will never, ever, ever, ever get audited by the IRS. I probably jinxed someone out there, because someone's going to send me an email and be like, I was audited by the IRS and, you know, I don't have anything on my return, but I know it's never going to happen. Because what could the IRS possibly stand to gain? The only way that they could go and win an audit for someone that works for someone else is if you're just underreporting your income. How is that possible? The only way that that would actually be, you know, possible for the IRS to win is if you had some sort of side business that you were collecting enough money, again, that the IRS even cared about on this, and then that they found that, and then that they audited you, and that they were to get that money back. If there is nothing for the IRS to throw out, then they're not going to kind of knock on your door, hopefully. Another thing about this is, depending on how big that credit is, going to increase your exposure. Think about the cost of sending an IRS agent out, even having them send you emails, send them letters. It is not free. So do you think that you're going to be much more likely to get audited if you have a $2,000 credit or a $200,000 credit? This kind of segues into probably the other aspect of this, of getting flagged, is we're talking about credits. We're talking about stuff that the IRS can throw out and get back their money immediately, because a credit is just tax dollars. The same can be said for large expenses. This is one of the things that we are very careful when we look at someone's tax return, that we don't have a single line item that is extremely large, because the same idea goes into taking a position on an expense as it does a credit. If you have a $300,000 repairs and maintenance expense, the IRS is going to look at that large expense and say, if we don't agree with the position that was taken on here, maybe it's not a business expense altogether, or maybe they want you to depreciate it. There's $300,000 that could get disallowed. That's going to generate taxable income. That's going to generate tax. Whether it's a credit, whether it's large expenses, we have to be very careful in how we report that stuff and how we show them. Does this mean that I wouldn't take a credit because I don't want to get audited? No. Make sure that you can defend your position. Make sure that you have your documentation, as we'll talk about a little bit later. But there is not a reason that I wouldn't do it just because of fear of audit. Now, that being said, for our clients, do we report some of these larger expenses a bit differently so that we can still get the same deduction and lower our audit risk? And the answer to that is yes. There is an art to this stuff. There is things that you can do, but at the end of the day, you are just kind of taking your chances. Overall, how does this process work? This is something, statistically speaking, that you guys are never going to encounter, and I hope that none of you ever do. But I'm going to talk about my situation. This is probably pretty common, no matter what state you're in, or even if you're dealing with an IRS audit. I was going back and I was trying to think on the timeline on this. It was my 2023 tax return. I filed this in 2024 and was audited not much long after that was actually processed, right? They didn't end up sending me the notice immediately, but I don't think it was more than 2 to 3 months afterwards. Get a notice on this. They come back to me and they say, "Hunt, nice to meet you. Thank you for sending this tax return. We don't agree with any of this stuff." Or it's not even that they disagreed with it at first. They just said, "This is fine. You gave us a tax return on it. We want to see all of your backup documentation that goes along with this." And so that aspect of this is something that I want to kind of educate you guys on. Sometimes when you get audited, the IRS is going to come, they're going to look at this, they're going to look at the paperwork, and they're going to move on. And that's the end of it. I don't really call that an audit. And if you want to count that as an audit, then yeah, we have audits that go on all the time. But informational request audits are fairly common. And if you have your paperwork together, they're really nothing that you should be worried about. Think about when you send to the IRS, let's say for charitable contributions, you're saying, "Hey, I had $25,000 of charitable contributions." The IRS doesn't know if you just put $25,000 on your tax return or you actually have a schedule showing all of your charitable contributions that you've made. This is exactly what happened in my case. They said, "We don't like your mortgage interest. We don't like your charity. We don't believe your business income. We want to see your dividends. Show us the cost basis on a stock sale. Show us the expenses for this rental property." Literally, they just went and said, "You have to justify every single position that you've taken on this tax return." Good news for me is that I'm an accountant, so I had a folder with all of this stuff. So I think it was 100, 120 different pages that I put together, earmarked, "Hey, this is where this goes, that is where this goes," sent it back to them. We are talking back and forth over the course of 2 to 3 months. Like I said, I put together probably 120 different documents, a couple back and forth on some of the things, and then absolute silence. Given all the information, sent all the stuff, and you know, for my case, I thought I'd won it. I thought it was over before it even started. They knew that they were auditing a CPA. I have all my documentation in order, and that's where it gives us to the next one.
Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid BTech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive."
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. WickedFile's AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. WickedFile puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit WickedFile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. If your car count fluctuates and you don't know why, that's not marketing, that's gambling. Overdrive.os installs a true marketing operating system inside your shop. It monitors performance daily, predicts slow weeks before they hit, and automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns to stabilize car count. Every dollar is tracked, every campaign is measured, every result is optimized. No random boost, no guesswork, no hope marketing. This is controlled via data-driven growth built specifically for auto repair shops.
If you're ready for predictable revenue and getting the most out of your marketing, visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com.
Documentation, documentation, documentation. This is the only reason I end up winning this audit. And as I would later find out, that 2 to 3 month lull period did not mean that they agreed with me, did not mean that they were not going to audit me, if not the opposite. They essentially, when they originally audited me, they didn't disallow anything. They just said, we want to see all of this. So I sent it all back, expecting them to come back and say, there is no change. The letter that I got back was extremely surprising, and it's extremely, extremely, extremely frustrating. Because as we'll talk about in a little bit, there was no cost for me because I was able to represent myself, but I do believe in entirety that this was a frivolous audit. The reason I believe that is when I sent them back these 120 different pages on it, they came back and they threw out about 90% of my deductions. The reason that they threw out those deductions was not that they disagreed with them, was not that they didn't understand them. They told me that I did not provide them any documentation to substantiate that. Even stuff as simple as my mortgage interest. I sent them the end of year 1098 for my mortgage interest, and they say that it wasn't provided. The office was closed for a couple of months. The agent that I was dealing with took some time off. No one else in the office was able to deal with this. So after some back and forth, it ended up having to go to appeals. And when it goes to appeals, it actually goes in front of the lawyer. And luckily, I finally got my day in court, essentially day in court. Never ended up having to actually go to in person, but approximately probably a year after all of this started, it was, you know, at this point going even worse than it started with. They had thrown out all my deductions, but luckily I was able to go to the appeal process. This is where I said the documentation came in really, really importantly. Did they ever really ask about me why I deducted this? And I'm not going to talk about the specific thing that they didn't like about this, but I'm going to talk about every other aspect of it. Did they ask about me why I deducted this? No. Did they say that it looked strange? Yes. Did they admit that they had never seen this before? Yes. Did they try to throw this out at least 5 different times? The answer is yes. What finally got them to accept my position? I didn't get them to understand this. I actually had no interest in doing that, and they had no interest in learning. I don't blame them. It's not their problem of what position I got to take. What finally got me to actually get this over the finish line? Because really, we look like we're at a stalemate. If I say I don't want to pay this tax and the state says, well, you have to pay this tax and we're not going to change our mind, honestly, as a taxpayer, what options do I have? I was already in the appeals. I could end up scheduling a day in court. I could go and try to fight this. But I think you can imagine the time expense associated with this. And again, I don't want to get into super specific on what it was. But essentially what they did not like, out of the hundreds of different pieces of paper that I sent them, there was one page that did not have a proper signature. Now, unfortunately for them, there had been a tax case law on this, and there was written judgment that says they cannot disallow this just because of the signature. Case closed. This is a perfect win, Hunt. You were able to go this, you had the documentation, they came back and said, because of X, Y, and Z, we're going to disallow it, and they had a tax case stating that they couldn't do that. Was this a perfect win for me? Yes, it was. But you can see just right there how quickly this would have went from something where I didn't do anything wrong, there's no reason that I should owe them a cent, let alone the kind of money that they're saying that I owe them. But if they said no again in appeals, right, I'd already lost with an agent, they'd already said they weren't going to review any of the documents that I sent, they sent it to their attorneys, where this is the initial stage of the appeal process. And if this person would have said no, I would have went out and had to hire a tax attorney. The cost involved with that, the time involved in that. And again, even if I end up going to tax court on this, I'm still assuming or still hoping that I can try to get a win. For me, this did not cost any money, but you can imagine of how much this would cost if this was one of my clients or this was you trying to deal this on your own. Which leads us to number 3. Audits take time and time equals money. And this is a prime example of what I'm kind of showing people when everyone kind of cheers and everyone has been kind of applauding of how the IRS and most of these state agencies are extremely, extremely understaffed. The time and the cost associated with dealing with audits or really any sort of communication has skyrocketed in the past couple of years. If I was to do an estimate on this, I probably spent over 100 hours on this audit, and including going to several Zoom meetings and different things like that. You guys don't know what my hourly rate is, and generally we really don't charge based on hourly rate, but even if you're just thinking of your own shop, 100 hours times whatever that rate is, yes, this is very, very expensive. This is what kind of gets me into a really frustrating spot is this was a frivolous lawsuit. They wanted me to pay a lot of money. They ended up actually sending me a pretty nice check on the way back. So this, in every sense of it, worked out for me. I have no cost on it. And even if I did have cost on it, I stood to gain a lot if I was to win, and I stood to pay a lot if I lost. So I was going to pay money either way to fight this. But I have a lot of clients that are kind of stuck with just as frivolous a communication or just as frivolous of an audit. But what if this judgment was lower? And I have people in the situation, I feel for them, and it's really, really tough. But if a state agency or a governmental agency of any kind says that you owe them $600 or $800 and you kind of didn't get the easy button on trying to deal with this, right? You've already tried to go down the normal path on it. You got told no, you can't get a hold of the right person. Now you want to go in and you want to hire a professional to do this. To hire a professional, to get a power of attorney, to go and start pulling transcripts and start doing research on this, how quickly have you already spent more money just trying to get out of this than it would just to pay it? And this is really one of the extreme examples, but in all honesty, to defend a $1,000 audit or $1 million audit is like really the same sort of back-end work. We still had to do the same amount of documentations. It's still the same amount of times talking to an IRS agent. We're just talking about higher or lower dollar amounts. This is why prevention is so important. This is why making sure that you're not doing something that is kind of exposing you out there is the best sort of advice that I can give for anyone. For our clients, we do offer on audit protection services, and this has already saved our clients tens of thousands of dollars. Covering sales tax audits, covering any sort of frivolous communication like this with the IRS. What that allows our clients to do, and this is only something that we do for our monthly clients, is saying for a fee, you can pay us and then you will never have to pay for a single audit ever again in the future. There's never a situation where it's like, this doesn't make sense because it's going to cost more money to defend. No, you've already paid for it. We are going to defend it till the very end. Now, again, though, just like I tell all of my audit protection clients on this, you will never, ever get a bill from us for defending you an audit. I cannot guarantee you that we are going to win an audit and there still could be a cost on this. Which leads us to number four and the final one and the biggest wake-up call on this is just because you are innocent doesn't mean you will win an audit. So like I kind of joked about before, we won this audit and I honestly have won pretty much every single audit that was in. There might have been some smaller ones or, hey, my clients could have got caught doing something that they shouldn't have been doing. But as far as an audit, we don't like this, that, or position. We truly, really do not ever lose. We document this stuff. We make sure to take the proper positions on it. And if you're doing quality work, there isn't a whole lot of exposure. I always joke about this because, well, I don't joke about this. It still kind of upsets me to think about this to this day, but I don't have 100% win. I will be honest with you guys that we have lost before, and it was really one that still upsets me right now to this day. As you can imagine, if we have only lost one time in all the audits that we've ever done, there are plenty of people that, I'm not going to say guilty, but probably are not innocent that won. This one that we lost, this client was truly innocent on there, and we never were able to reduce this. This client ended up paying $25,000 to the IRS that he truly never, ever should have owed on it, but we had exhausted every single possible thing that we could. This one, we learned from this as a business. We took this as a flat fee. This client probably paid me roughly $1,500, and I think that by the end of this, we had almost 300 hours into this audit. Now, just that right there, if we would have known this when we started on it, we probably would have said, this is going to be really hard to justify. We're going to charge you for 300 hours. They're only charging you 25 grand. I'm probably going to charge you more just to try to defend this. It's going to be cheaper just to pay. Now, really what this was is we took this personal. We didn't charge the client on this because the client did nothing wrong. Really, the IRS agent did not like him, did not like his story, did not like the one specific position that he took. Just like in a lot of other audits, we have the right to appeal. We were its original auditor. The auditor said, we don't like X, Y, and Z. It all had to do with travel. He does racetrack or race side preparation for a lot of dragsters and stuff like that. So he was traveling all around the countries. It looked like he was having a lot of fun. he doesn't race, he doesn't have a dragster. Like, seriously, not like you tell your wife or tell your friends, oh, I don't have a race car on it. This guy truly doesn't race. The IRS didn't want to hear that, though. It looked like fun. It looked like what some other people pay to do. So they threw out all of his travel expense, which was massive. So we said, this is fine. We have all this documented, right? Documentation. We had all of this. Here's the itinerary. Here's who I was supporting. Here's the racers. Here's the results. Here's the pictures. Here's the video. And so we didn't win. We went to appeal. We talked to the agent that was the appeal on this and found out it was the best friend of the IRS agent. Pretty much these two people were in cahoots, and they made it very clear very quickly that they had no intention of really ever looking at this, let alone changing. And that's where we came to a really kind of sobering conclusion on this of we were between a rock and a hard place and had to have a really hard conversation with my client. And I sat down, I told him, I said, hey, I don't agree with this. I don't understand this. And to by all accounts, this is exactly how this should not be working. You are kind of being strung up in a system and there's not a whole lot we can do to stop this. And I told him, I said, if you go and you hire a tax attorney, you are going to win this in tax court. You've done everything right. There is case law on this. This is a 100% win. But again, just like in this situation, I would have thought this is a 100% win before we got into this audit. And now here we are 200-300 hours into this and we have lost this even further. Then that's where my client made a really hard decision, but ultimately probably a smart one of saying, you know what, enough is enough. I got to get my life back. I got to just move on. And he ended up paying that bill. Did my client end up paying me a fortune? No. We spent a lot of time on this and really we tried to keep this as cheap as possible for him. But a lot of people are loud and proud that they think that there is no innocent people in jail, that there is no innocent people that are getting audited or paying taxes. Yeah, plenty of people are just because they don't want to spend any more time or energy defending this stuff. Will you ever get audited? Statistically speaking, no. But hopefully you learn some other things that can lower your risk and help in the case that you do finally one day get that infamous letter from the IRS or some state agency. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis. Looking for an easier way to catch this show and learn more from the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, just go to arpn.app. That's arpn.app and download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, read show notes, and watch videos when available. So thanks again for joining on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.